The next bill before us, I want to take testimony on House Bill 1245, recognizing that we will be taking additional testimony on this bill this Thursday. We'll reschedule for this Thursday. Is there anyone here who cannot be with us on Thursday that would like to testify today or at least make some introductory comments? You're welcome to do so. Proponents for House Bill 1245. Proponents. Are there any proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents that would like to make a comment today on Bill House 1245? Opponents at this point. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Vogler. I'm an executive director and registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Manufactured Housing Association. I would like to just make just some brief comments because I can be here on Thursday. There are several people from out of town that would like to testify, and I'd like to give them a chance to share their comments, and so I will keep my comments very brief. But perhaps if I could, just to start off, I think there's some people that are here, and I might add that these are people that live in manufactured homes. They've taken time off from their work so that they could come and be here. And if those that are opposed to House Bill 1245 would just stand, I would And I think it's important to note that these people aren't paid lobbyists. They're people that live in homes, and they're people that have come here to voice their concerns. So, with that, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to just turn it over and let those that would like to testify do so.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bienfeld. We will assume you'll be back to present your other views on Thursday. Are there any other opponents to 1245 that would like to testify at this time? Please come forward. And if you'll state your name, please, and be sure that you sign in. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chairman. Committee members, good morning. My name is Steve Connell. I live in a manufactured home in Sioux Falls. Additionally, I work in the manufactured housing industry. And of course, as you know, the manufactured housing industry is a major industry in South Dakota. It does represent about 30% of new housing starts annually in the state, as well as being a major form of affordable housing in the United States. Last week, Thursday, I just got wind of this bill, so I didn't have a lot of time to really prepare or do anything. I did send a fax letter, I think, to each one of you, in which I made an error in commenting that the committee was proposing this, which was an error, and I corrected that on the letter that I just passed out. Additionally, with only one day to really work on this, I talked to some of the people that I am familiar with in the communities, and received comments from about 56 people that also opposed the passing of this bill. In 1997, the legislature established, for good cause, the mechanism to treat manufactured homeowners equal to standard stick-built homeowners. They provided a 3-year period to work out any potential problems that they might come across. We felt this was a huge step in eliminating the discrimination of manufactured homeowners. I see House Bill 1245 as a huge step backwards. Although stated differently, in the bill, it is obvious that House Bill 1245, if passed, would eventually revert to the repeal of the existing code. These are our homes. We deserve to be taxed and treated like any other homeowners. There are already statutes that govern the movement, and placement of manufactured homes. I feel that all manufactured homeowners should not be treated differently because the system happens to fail occasionally. You know, if somebody moves a house and it doesn't get recorded, that's not happening all over all of the time. You can't hook onto one of these with a vehicle, with your car, your pickup, or even a small truck and move it today, like in the old days. It was also a big step when we were no longer required to go to the courthouse each year and register our home. And additionally, to put a sign on the front of our house that says, "I live in a mobile home." We were excited that we no longer had to do that. You know, there may be different strokes for different folks, as I said in that letter. We all live under the same constitutional laws, and I feel that we as manufactured homeowners have the same constitutional rights. Please don't discriminate us as manufactured homeowners. Please oppose House Bill 1245. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other opponents that would like to testify today on 1245? And then we'll have questions once we briefly. Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is Ron Mitzel. I'm an independent retailer from Glenham, South Dakota. We are in a family-run business that's been run since 1958. And in that period of time, we've been to peer a number of times to address issues, discriminatory issues against manufactured housing, from zoning to taxation. The law that was enacted a few years ago to bring equity back to the situation was justified and appropriate. I think to repeal it in the manner that they're doing is referred to as creeping legislation. There's nothing gained by eliminating part of the law when you know you're going to bring homes onto the tax rolls again, and you still have to make the law that you have now workable. And I think that's possible. We have to appreciate the fact that these homeowners today that are buying our homes are having tax bills that exceed the taxes of a number of stick-built homes that are sitting in the same communities. These people are paying a large share of the taxes, and they deserve some favorable treatment, or at least equal treatment. One of the major concerns that comes with what they're going back to would refer to as double taxation. In the days of old, when homes weren't valued at much, that was not an issue. But today, you can have a customer that would come to me that purchased a 16 by 80 from me, let's say 5 years ago, probably carrying a tax burden of $1,300 to $1,700 in any given community, depending on the tax base. He chooses to trade that home to me for a new home and getting into a larger home, more expensive home. His tax liability can go to as high as $2,000 to $2,300. Under the old process, he would have had to pay the taxes on the present home he owned in that calendar year, plus the taxes on the new home. That becomes an extreme burden, and it is a real situation that is occurring today. I think to go back to what they're proposing to do is to go back to forcing that taxpayer into double taxation, and I think their ultimate goal is to get back to do that with the whole system. The decal issue was brought up. Many of you have seen the movie Scarlet Letter. I think that is the same kind of a reference. We don't go out and brand delinquent taxpayers on their homes. We don't go put out a sign saying this taxpayer is delinquent, although some are in arrears for years and years and years, but no effort is made by the county officials to go out and do anything about that. But they're willing to go out and say, we must mark homes. If I have my home set on a basement in amongst, and it could be situated amongst stick-built homes, why would I have to carry a banner that says my home is manufactured, yet my neighbor stick-built his, which can be less money, less quality, less appealing, and not have to mark his house? I mean, that's backwards. That is antiquated thinking from people who have not, for whatever reason, taken the time to take a look at manufactured housing and see what it is today. I mean, the changes, I've been in this since 73 when I came back and joined my father. Today, we sold houses then for $9,500 and thought we were high. Today, we sell homes for $90,000. It's a real situation, and these people that buy these homes need some fairness in their taxes. I think the biggest thing here that we run into is change. Change is ugly. I don't like to change. Most of you probably don't like to change. It's always easy to do the things the way we've always done them. It's always easy to go back to that system. Sometimes change we have to change. We've changed various other things in the state. This is an issue that has to be changed, and it has to be changed for an equity basis. The solution doesn't lie in repeal of a part of the law. The solution lies in making the system work, and that's going to require cooperation from the South Dakota Department of Revenue, the county officials, and our association, and we've always offered to help that association in achieving the goals of making the system work. And I think that's where it lies. It does not lie in partial repeal of this law. Therefore, I would ask you to oppose 1245. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else that cannot be here Thursday that would like to testify against House Bill 1245? Welcome.
I can possibly be here Thursday, but if I don't do this today, I'll never do it because I just found out today that it's going to be Thursday, okay? So I practiced my speech in front of the mirror. I'm doing it today.
Well, we're ready, and congratulations.
My name is Marlene Glow, and I'm a homeowner, I'm a court owner, and I also have a construction company. Well, my husband does too, and so does the bank, so we all have it together, okay? In 92, we built a subdivision. We built the subdivision to subdivision specs. We have paved streets, curb and gutter. We have homes in there that, I'm not a public speaker either. We have homes that have shingled roof, wood-sided, vinyl-sided. We have everything a subdivision has right now. We even have a tax like a subdivision. The tenants, or my homeowners, have come from all walks of life. We have from very young with new families to retired. I have people who are nurses, attorneys, work for the city, work for the county, every walk of life that you can imagine. I feel that this bill 1245 really does need to be killed. It is a discriminatory bill. We pay taxes like everybody else. Our streets are just, the city have taken them over. So we are a subdivision. We have everything that a subdivision has. We have the tax like a subdivision. Let's keep it that way. Thank you.
Thank you. I think you did just fine, matter of fact. Thank you very much. Are there any other opponents? We will have an opportunity to do this on Thursday. Can I see if, in addition to the those, please come forward. Is there anyone else? We need to get on to our next. Welcome to the committee.
I can do that too.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Fran Welch. I live in a manufactured home park here in Pierre. And these pictures I passed out are just recent pictures of my home. I brought those so that you'll know that we're not going to hook on to a pickup or something and move out in the middle of the night. Like Marlene, I'm not a public speaker either. Here I am. I've seen two manufactured homes moved out of our park, and it's a 2 or 3 day operation by a crew to, you know, to get moved out. I would hope that you would. I oppose House Bill 1245. I really hope that it does not pass. To me, it's a very discriminatory thing. I have my home happens to be in 1992, so of course I'm skipping taxes this year. But a lot of my neighbors' homes are older than that. They're every bit as nice. Some of them much nicer, bigger, and it does not seem to me that they should be on a different sort of a tax deal than I am. So I hope that you will not pass this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Welch. We'll return your pictures. Any other comments? Seeing none, members of the committee, what we'll do, unless there's a specific question you'd like to ask for with these ladies or gentlemen, Representative Napoli, and if we can kind of keep it relatively short, then we'll get on with
it. Mr. Chairman, yes, I have some questions because I'm not sure if these people are going to be back here. Ron Mitzel, could you come up and answer a couple questions for me, please? It was stated here today that this bill is going to repeal the statute. Now, you know that's not true.
It's partial. It's
a partial repeal.
Yes.
Okay. What the bill does, it states 1990 and newer will still be taxed as they presently are.
What's the purpose?
Please just answer my question. Okay. I'm just trying to verify where I'm at here.
Yes.
Okay. The question I have for you is the counties are losing tens of thousands of dollars under the present statute because of the ability to move these homes. Now, my question to you is, we've been at this for 3 years trying to solve this problem. What would be your answer to helping us solve this problem to get the counties their money in this situation?
If the counties would follow, a situation came up a number of years ago in Walworth County where I reside. And I was called before the county commission because they were having a problem of the inability to collect the taxes. And the county treasurer and whomever, were trying to come up with ways that this didn't occur, that they collected the revenue that they were due. I was amazed at the lack of their knowledge of the law that is available for them to collect taxes on manufactured housing. They're very extreme in the county's ability if the county officials choose to follow the rules that are there. I mean, their ability to collect past due taxes on a home, on a manufactured home, are much greater than they are on real estate. All they have to do is follow the rules that are there. I mean, as far as issuing, when that tax bill comes due, they go through the process, and they, if it's past due beyond the time dates, they go get the sheriff. They do a distress warrant, go to a sale at the county steps to sell that house to collect those taxes. The vehicles are there. The problem is they don't know they exist, or they choose not to do them. Their ability to collect those taxes are very good.
If we could have a quick follow-up.
Yes,
we
quick follow-up.
Yes.
Ron, I think you're incorrect, because the mobile home real estate from 1990 newer is exactly the same it is for real estate with homes. There's no difference in the collection procedures.
Then they have to do their job and collect those taxes.
And then I have just one quicker follow-up, if I may, because this is important. Are you going to be back Thursday?
No.
This is important, Mr. Chairman. So here's our problem, and I'm looking for an answer, and I really am, committee, because we've been at this for 3 years trying to solve this problem. The problem is these homes are movable, many of them, especially now since we're talking 1989 on down. They're very easily movable within a half a day. You can hook onto it, and you can move it. That tax is not fully due until 1 year after you get the notice. So that means within that 1 year, that mobile home can be moved and gone, and the tax not due. Even though it's due, it's not collected until 1 year later. That's our problem. So what is your answer to that?
That scenario can apply forward as well. So how do you correct that?
I'm asking you that question.
Well, I don't know, but the same situation happens. How can you do it on the new that you're going to allow to be taxed under that basis?
Thank you for your response. We may have another question for you. Representative Tupel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be real brief here. Mr. Mitzel. Mr. Napoli just stated a problem, and that is that when mobile home taxes are collected as real estate and they're collected year in arrears, a mobile home can be moved, and the assessor, if there's currently, you alluded to paperwork that's currently out there that the counties can follow and should follow, and that is that, if I'm not mistaken, one of the things that needs to be done is there needs to be a permit to move a mobile home, correct?
You have to. You're obligated to get an affidavit from the county treasurer before that home is moved.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a permit and an affidavit that the taxes have been paid, correct?
The affidavit is the thing that we're supposed to have in our position.
Okay.
Or in our possession, excuse me.
And then that person that owns the mobile home is supposed to pay those taxes before it's moved.
That's correct.
But in the event that that doesn't take place, what happens is that mobile homes are moved and the assessor has no way of knowing they're moved. Now, obviously, it's common knowledge within the mobile home park that the mobile home is being moved, but the assessor has no way of knowing that unless they physically see the mobile home being moved. Or if somebody stops the mobile home while it's being moved to find out whether or not they've got the affidavit, correct?
That's true.
And so I think this is an attempt to try and solve that. Whether or not it does, I don't know. My question to you is this. I see two opportunities where we could curtail some of that. One would be to require mobile home owner movers to be licensed so that if they choose not to adhere to the law, there's a license that can be revoked.
I believe that's the case, isn't it, Jerry? Having to do with, I'm a bonded mover. I don't have to have a permit.
Dealers do, but movers do not, as I understand it. Is that correct? Okay, so a mobile home mover that's not a dealer does not have to be licensed, as I understand it currently.
Okay.
Okay, so if those movers had to be licensed, that would curtail, because there would be a penalty against that mover more than just the $85 fine for not having the affidavit for the Class 2 misdemeanor.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
Okay, the other issue is a lot of these are being moved out of mobile home parks. If the mobile home, the operator of the mobile home park was required to fill out a form to notify the assessor anytime a mobile home was being moved out of their park, it would be a very simple piece of paper they could send to the assessor. The assessor would know that that mobile home is being moved. If the owner or if the mover did not fill out the appropriate paperwork, there would still be a piece of paper coming to the assessor, knowing they would know that that was being moved, so they wouldn't find this out a year later. Would you have any issue with either one of those?
I guess I would. I'm not a park operator. I would defer that question to Marlene, because I don't run a park. And then you still have the situation of private placement.
We may be able to get some additional response to that on Thursday. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your testimony. At this time, I'd like to close then the public hearing on the opponent's position, and we'll come back next Thursday, this coming Thursday, and reopen House Bill 1245. At this point, we'd like to bring forward House Bill 1141, which imposes a severance tax on the quarrying of certain materials, Representative Flowers, and open it for testimony by proponents. Proponents for House Bill 1141. Representative Flowers, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's great to be here. Well, this bill comes to us. I sat and listened to the early meetings we had where the Department of Revenue was talking about all our sources of revenue. And as you recall, when we started talking about losing the precious metals tax on gold, it just struck me that all of a sudden that we are no longer the owners of the state cement plant and those materials, and now I'm finding out, and I think I'll